As you know, my name is Lily Tolson, and I'm part of Good Shepherd Students. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy that you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that had been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes from your mouth. Open today our ears, our minds, our hearts, that we can receive and learn in your living word. Please do. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. If you join the nearly 200,000 visitors annually who visit our Wormslow historic site right down the road, you know there's a lot of options for you. You can walk the trails, you can visit the ruins of the 18th century home built by colonial settler Noble Jones. You can grab a picture under that oak tree lane, I think one of the most photographed spots in the entire city of Savannah. And if you time it right, you can catch the work of an authentic period blacksmith. All right? An authentic period blacksmith. Heavy tools, intense heat. They forged the basic iron implements that were used in that day. Pick heads, axe heads, horseshoes. The pressure of their heavy hammers and the heat of that fire create something new, something necessary, something useful, and otherwise, apart from that pressure and that heat, something otherwise unobtainable. Our May and June teaching series from the Scripture is called Forged. Forged, that's what it means to create out of that raw and molten iron, to forge something new and necessary and useful. Forged from the letter of 1 Peter, those very verses that you just heard Lula read, verses 6 and 7. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, I don't think at Wormslow they do much refining of gold, not much forging of gold, but what Peter is reminding us that gold is refined in the fire, it is made pure, and yet at the end of all things, gold will go extinct. Gold is not eternal. Gold is temporal. It's limited to this world. Your faith, on the other hand, Your faith in Christ, Christ's work in you, is refined by fire. Your faith is forged by the fire of the events through which you live. It is refined often by the fire of suffering, and you will see, and the world will see, if you were forged in fire, you will see whether your faith is proven genuine or eternal. I love this word, forged. It's one of those few words in the English language that can mean almost opposite thing. Forged, a forgery, that's not genuine, right? That's a crime. That's a crime, right? That's a fake. Whether you are forging a counterfeit dollar bill or forging a work of art or forging your mama's signature on a bad grade that you turn in to your teacher. Some of you laugh because you did that last one. You judge the counterfeiters and the art forge, but you forged the signature, right? Is it possible for our faith to be fake? Y'all, is it possible for our faith to be revealed as fake? I want to invite you to see God at work wherever you are today. Each of us are different places. We come with different questions, answered and unanswered. We come with different fears. We come hiding from our fears. But I want to invite you, at least for a moment, you don't have to be honest with the person sitting next to you on the pew, but at least be honest with God. I want you to invite God to show you how He is at work, even in this moment where you feel like you are being forged, not faked, but where you are being made stronger, being made more useful, being made more perfect, being made more like Jesus Christ, right where you are. Right where you are. And friends, on a morning like this, let me just take a moment to say thank you, because you have choices. We have choices. You have choices about where to be on a Sunday morning. But we don't live in some medieval vassal state where some ruler or someone somewhere gets up and tells you and you have to go here or you have to go there. You make a choice to come here or to go anywhere. And you've chosen, Good Shepherd Savannah, you've chosen to be here this morning. You've chosen the path of the refiner's fire. You have chosen to be forged. Imagine this. It's hard to imagine the Father, our God, our loving God, as a blacksmith with a heavy hammer in one hand. That seems scary. But consider the blacksmith, friends. The hammer in the blacksmith's hand is not to destroy anything, but to shape it and to give it focus and purpose. The Father with a hammer in one hand, keeping the fire as hot as is necessary, and yet holding you with strength and with intention in mind. He has a dream that is yet unfulfilled about your life and about our lives. Now, He's not going to make you a horseshoe or an axe head. He wants to make you more like Jesus. He wants to make us. He wants to make this church more like Jesus for the sake of the world. Two questions, at least, that this passage begins to answer. Question number one, why do we got to be forged? I mean, isn't there a better way? Isn't there a simpler way? I think the answer is no. We have to be forged because we are exiles. Hear that at the very beginning. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, at the very beginning of the letter, he's telling us who he's writing to. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That literally is the audience of the letter. Peter is writing to a group of followers of Jesus. Maybe some of them were Jewish background believers. Some were Gentile background believers. They were now followers of Jesus, and they were no longer in the home territory of the Christian faith in and around Jerusalem and Judea. They were spread throughout the known world. All of these nations are part of the modern day, what we would call Turkey today. They were followers of Jesus, far from their native land. They were literally exiles. But as we hear this letter, we recognize that they were not simply exiles because of their geography. They were exiles from their native land. They were exiles far from Eden, from paradise, from that good and holy and whole place that God had created for all of humanity to live. And when we remember our April series, we had it all right in Eden. God blessed us and gave us everything for our good and for His glory. We had it all, but we lost it all. We chose to go into exile in rebellion from God, far from Eden, trying to find a place where we would not need forging or shielding, and yet creating a need for more forging than ever before. I love what writer J.D. Waltz says about the difference between being in Eden and being in exile. When we are in exile, it would be like waking up and reverting to black and white TV. Now, I don't want to incriminate you, but do any of you remember when TV was only black and white? There are enough of you, right? The dividing line crosses right here. And even if we haven't always known TV as black and white, we've seen like newsreel footage from the Second World War or earlier than that where everything was. And it's easy. Okay, think about this. This may be a little kid, but it's easy to see black and white newsreel and imagine that all of that took place in black and white. Right? Have you ever thought that? It's like the beginning. Did you see the movie Wizard of Oz, classic Hollywood, that starts in black and white, and then suddenly when they get to Oz, it's Technicolor? Did you ever think that maybe actual life was black and white, and then suddenly we discovered color? And to live in exile, to live in rebellion from God, is actually to choose black and white in a world that God has filled with color. It's to forget that color ever existed. And so imagine now why we need to be forged, reshaped, so that we can live and see in the color which God first imagined for us. Must we be forged? Yes, we must be forged. Question two, what is God doing to forge us? What do we think God is doing to forge us from the beginning? A couple of things. There's an exhaustive walk through this whole 12 verses, but I'm going to pick at least three. What is God doing to forge us from the beginning? Number one, God chooses us. Number one, God chooses us. To God's elect, scattered exiles throughout the provinces who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. I just want to say this. I could open some theological cans of worms right there. But I just want to say this. There's nothing random about your life. If you believe that God's hand is on you, there's nothing random about your life. I'm not saying that God has caused, is the author of everything in your life, but I am saying God's never surprised when stuff comes your way. And because He's chosen you, because you've responded by faith in Jesus Christ, because He's chosen you, He's got His eye on you, and He is working overtime to bring all things together for your good and for His glory. Remember, that's how we said creation started? God made everything that is for your good and for His glory. That's what He's working for in the long run story of each of our lives. We are chosen. We are chosen. Peter also reminds us that God shields us. verse 4, midway of verse 4. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Now I know, we say God shields you, and you say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, and if God was shielding me, then what about fill in the blank? I mean, literally, I don't know anyone literally that's been hit by a bus, but enough of life feels like we've been hit by buses. And whether it's medical or whether it's relational, whether it's on the inside or on the outside, whether it was something we did, something we caused, or something that we were the recipient of another person's actions. I want to tell you, and this, one way we know we're shielded is it could have been worse. That may not sound very encouraging, but one of the things we know is it could have been worse. And because we know God's love is focused on us, God's good intent, even in the difficulty, even in the pain, God's good intent is to bring us to full salvation. So I want to say it may be bad, but it could have been worse. It may be bad, but it could have been worse. And God's shielding has brought you to a place where you can continue to engage with Him and listen for Him and respond to Him and take a step of faith, willing to be in the fire, willing to be continually forged and shaped, because He's not going to waste a bit of that pain. He cried with you when you cried. He put His hands around His head while you had your hands in your head, your head in your hands. He heard every time you cried out and you swore or you didn't swear. And it didn't make any more sense to Him than it did to you. But I'm telling you, God is shielding you still. He is shielding you by His goodness. He is shielding you. And He says He won't be done shielding you until your faith is revealed in the last days. Man, He gives Himself a wide open territory to work. And He says, I'm not done. I am shielding you. The last thing I want to just highlight for you from verse 2. You've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? This could be a whole other sermon. Aren't you thankful that God applies the blood of Christ to our lives? He applies the blood of Christ to our lives. The blood of Christ confirms His choosing, confirms His choice of us. The blood of Christ is a continued shielding. That's why we ask God to continue to cover us with the blood of Christ, to remind us of His atoning power, not only to forgive what is past, but to give us joyful freedom for the future. It confirms His choosing. It continues His shielding. But friends, that application of the blood of Christ, that actually makes us what we will become. It confirms our forgiveness. It works out our cleanliness. It cleanses our hearts and our lives so that God just doesn't see us as if we were holy. As we respond to Christ-likeness, He actually builds us up in authentic holiness. The blood cleanses us, but it also strengthens and nourishes our spiritual lives so that we can continue to walk in fellowship with God. So that we can know that we are indeed being forged, being shaped with a purpose for the future. I'm thankful, friends, that as we gather today, the first Sunday in May, I'm thankful that I get to invite you to the table. I don't get to invite you to the blacksmith's anvil where there's a hammer ready to hit you hard. I'm inviting you to a table, to a place of Christ's presence, a table that I didn't prepare, a table that Christ has prepared. A table that prepares a place for your nourishment and your strengthening. A place where we'll know again that He has chosen us and we are continuing to choose Him. Where He has shielded us and we are responding, submitting to being shielded and protected. A place where we can come to be nourished and strengthened for the way He has for us. A table that is in living color, not in black and white, in living color, to bring us back to hope and to holiness. Let's pray together as we come.